to the New Testament book of John this morning. The New Testament book of John. So glad you're here. If you're a visitor, we want to say thank you. Amen for choosing to worship with us. If you don't have a church home and would love more information, please stop there at the communication station in the back. There's several pieces of literature that'll help introduce us to you. And we'd love to be able to make the acquaintance. We just love God's people. We love people. We love God. And we just enjoy going home to heaven together. Amen. How many's on your way to heaven?
Amen.
Wow. It's about 10 of us. Let me try that again. How many's on your way to heaven?
Amen.
Oh, good. That's better. I was going to have to change my message. All right. John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14 and 16. Follow along on the screen if you didn't bring your Bibles. Text is provided. These are the words of Christ. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Skip down to verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Oh, Heavenly Father and Holy Spirit, this morning, come. We welcome you here. We need you. I need you. Lord, please, Holy Spirit, don't be absent from this service. We need you in a dynamic way. Come and minister to every heart and life. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to speak for a few moments this morning about the mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. A couple weeks ago, I felt the Lord clearly impress upon me to revisit the subject of the Holy Spirit and to proclaim the necessity of His control in the life of every born-again believer. Recently, I was inspired as I listened to Brother David Wilkerson preach a message that I would recommend called Getting to Know the Holy Spirit. It's on YouTube if you'd like to check that out. He preached it back in 2009, I believe, just a couple years before he died in the car accident. Another series I was thinking of this week when I came to this subject of the Holy Ghost, another series worth recommending, I believe, is Pastor Robert Morris's of Gateway Church in Dallas. He did a series called My Best Friend and certainly described the mission and ministry of the Holy Ghost. It's also available, I believe, online, or it used to be. Just great classical exposition on the ministry of the Holy Ghost. We have many in our own fellowship that have preached great sermons, messages, and lessons on the Holy Spirit, but they're not as readily available as that the two that I've mentioned to you. I actually was thinking of one that I heard not too long ago at a minister's conference, just a powerful message. I'm asking the Lord, maybe we can have that gentleman come and preach. I might just request that message, say, "You got to come preach that at our church." Because it was definitely, I think, needed in our culture. So let's just say here at the beginning of the service this morning, Broadway Assembly is a church that is, well, we would call ourselves non-denominational. But we are, we try to pattern our services and our doctrine, our tenets of faith and such, after the church in the book of Acts. That's right, the book of Acts. I claim to be a Pentecostal. I hope you do as well. And for me, during the past 20, probably close to 20 short years that I have been in ministry after Bible school, I have witnessed firsthand the confusion surrounding the mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but I have read various books and articles on the person, work, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And from my experience, I have come to this conclusion. The Holy Spirit is probably the most misunderstood member of our Godhead. And there are thousands of Christians who completely fail to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church today. And I believe that the continued misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit is too evident to deny. It's impossible to justify. And these days we find believers confused about the Spirit's baptism, its fullness, the gifts that he brings, the tongues that we teach is the initial outward sign evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm literally appalled at the lack of real biblical teaching on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. One theologian said it right when he stated, Satan has opposed the doctrine of the Spirit-filled life as bitterly as any other doctrine there is. He has confused it, opposed it, and surrounded it with false notions and fears. And I think how true of a statement that is. However, many people are talking about the Holy Spirit, and they're asking questions. And I'm afraid many are not finding satisfactory answers. So because of this, I want us in this message to look at what Scripture has to say about the person and power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to give it to you as it's in the Word. Amen. How many know that there's a lot of twisting of Scripture? I'm not on board with that. I believe we should just take it as it is given. And so, number one, I want us to look at this. And I pray, my goal is for some folks here this morning, I'd love to aggravate you. I want to aggravate your desire to get filled and overflowing with the Holy Ghost. And so the first point I want to share with you as I begin is I want us to consider the incoming of the Holy Spirit as a gift. The incoming of the Holy Spirit as a gift. Because it was two perplexed and puzzled disciples of Christ that he said in John 14:16, I pray the Father that he shall give you, that's a gift, give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, soon after Christ made this amazing declaration, the eyes of the disciples were turned toward Pentecost for the bestowal of that gift. And for, remember, the gift of the Holy Spirit was not yet to come, both historically when he would be given by God the Father and experientially when he would be received by the waiting disciples. Can any thinking man doubt that this is exactly what happened on Pentecost, was exactly what the risen Christ had in mind when he promised the release of the Spirit of God into those believing hearts? I mean, listen carefully to the words as found in Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. Since the day of Pentecost, God has bestowed the Holy Spirit upon all those who are saved and will surrender and will yield to the control of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I believe the Scriptures teach that this dynamic experience and filling of the Spirit is a distinct and separate experience that comes after salvation, as Acts 19:2 demonstrates. Have you received since you believed? That was the question. At the moment of the Spirit's baptism, every believer becomes personally indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And I like to think of it as this. The Holy Spirit is God's mark of ownership on us. How many can say, I belong to God? His indwelling within us is the evidence that we belong to Christ. God never releases his spirit, though, upon those that have not received his son. If you know Christ as your Savior, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you need to pray. You need to seek that experience of empowerment. Amen. But the question needs to be answered. Is this gift of the Holy Spirit that God gave to the church at Pentecost just a dynamic power, or is it a divine person? Divine, dynamic power or divine person? In other words, are we to imagine that the Holy Spirit is some vague influence or indefinite force, unreal and untangible, and thus not as divine and personal as God the Father and Christ the Son? The answer to that question is clearly found in Scripture, because the personality of the Holy Spirit is not some dainty theory, but rather it's a divine truth, beloved. Let me show you what I mean. First of all, I want us to think of the titles that are ascribed to him. The titles that are ascribed to him. In the New Testament alone, there's 39 different names given to the Holy Spirit. He's rightly called the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of faith, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of judgment, the Spirit of burning. It's kind of like where we get the fire of Pentecost. It's the Spirit of burning. He's called the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of glory. That's about 19 of them. But of many different titles which reveal the personality of the Holy Spirit, it was Christ himself who gave the most distinctive and descriptive title of this third person of the Trinity. Recall again the words of Christ to his lonely disciples. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Everybody say comforter. The word comforter, which Christ used to describe the Holy Spirit, comes from the Greek word paraclete, which means one called alongside to help or to assist. Now, this is precisely the mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So here's a little newsflash. When a person surrenders their life to Christ at salvation, they now can have their own personal assistant for living the Christian life. What a deal. See, in our text, Christ was about to withdraw from his disciples. He was about to ascend to heaven. They were beginning to feel this good dose of separation anxiety, I guess you could call it. So to combat their panic before he leaves, he assures them that they will not be left as orphans upon the sea of life with only a passing memory of what he was like. Hello. Rather, on the contrary, Christ was going to be present with them on a higher level through the mission and ministry of the Holy Ghost. And in some amazing and astonishing way, the Spirit of God was to come and not only be with those fearful disciples, but now he was to be in them. Listen to the words of Christ. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Once the Holy Spirit rested upon men, but now, praise God, he can reside within man. And the Apostle Paul had the truth in mind when he said to the Corinthian church, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you?" Let's admit, my friend, it takes a person to come and take the place of another person, right? A force or an influence cannot do this, but the Holy Spirit can, and he did. And although Christ is absent from us outwardly, the Holy Spirit has come to abide with us inwardly. And he has come as the representative of Christ to do the work and to take care for his interest. And the Holy Spirit came to take up permanent residence in the believer. Christ himself declared, "It is expedient, it is necessary for me that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Then also I know that the Holy Spirit is a person because of the tasks which is assigned to him. Are you following me? Okay? We know he's a person because of the titles ascribed to him. Secondly, the tasks assigned to him. Look at this. Some of the functions which are given to the Holy Spirit include these things. He teaches, John 14:26. He reproves, John 16:8. He guides, John 16:13. He reveals, John 16:13. Part B, he glorifies, John 16:14. So it's my conviction that such a ministry as this that's just been described can only be accomplished by a person, and that person is God the Holy Spirit living within us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought of the treatment that is bestowed to the Holy Spirit? He can be offended by people in many different ways. This is itself one of the convincing proofs of the personality of the Holy Spirit. He can be insulted. He can be resisted. He can be quenched. He can be grieved. The Bible says he can be lied to. It is precisely these sins which can only be committed against a person. A young person may grieve their parents' heart by the things that they do and by the places they go. So it is with the Holy Spirit. The fact that he is a divine person makes him deeply sensitive to sin of any kind in our lives. It goes against his divine holy nature. And if only we would realize the grief, the sorrow, the suffering the Holy Spirit feels when we willfully sin against him, I believe we would think twice before we yield to that temptation. Because I beg you, start to face the truth that the gift at Pentecost was much more, friend, than just a dynamic power. It was much more than an indefinite force. It was much more than a figment of their imagination, but rather it was a divine person who can be hurt by us in many different ways because of the sin which we commit against him. All right? So we've looked at first the incoming of the Holy Spirit as a gift. Secondly, I want us to consider the infilling of the Holy Spirit as a growth. This is better known as the infilling of the Spirit in the life of each believer. There's tremendous distinction between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the growth of the Holy Spirit. Because I want to explain, as a gift, the Holy Spirit abides within us. Okay? But as a growth, he anoints us with power. There is a tremendous difference between abiding and anointing. Oh, help me preach just a few minutes. The gift of God's Spirit makes us alive, but the growth of God's Spirit makes us adequate to live the Christian life on the highest level. Looking at it gift-wise, he is present in the life, but looking at it growth-wise, he is preeminent within the life. And as a gift of the Holy Spirit resides within us, but as a growth, he reigns supreme within us. Again, I say there's tremendous distinction between him residing and him reigning. Hello? Some Christians are satisfied with only a minimum of the Spirit's control over their lives. Other Christians are content with nothing less than a maximum of the Spirit's control. If I may quote from A.W. Tozer, who said, "It may be said without qualification that every man is as full of the Spirit as he wants to be." Now then, let me ask you, what is your attitude regarding the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Is it minimum or maximum? Hello. Are you ready to permit the Spirit of God to take full control of your life? Will you allow your life to be brought totally under the reign and the rule of God's indwelling spirit? Are you willing to be filled? Are you willing to be dominated? Are you willing to be possessed? Are you willing to be mastered by the third person of the Trinity? Are you willing to be content with nothing less than a flood tide of Pentecostal power in your heart and in your life? That was the experience of these disciples. We read of them in Acts 2:4 that says, suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And bam, there was the first Pentecostal church. Praise God. There in the upper room at Pentecost, in that high and holy hour, those weak disciples were suddenly and transformingly filled with the Holy Spirit. They were captivated. They were captured by the Spirit of the living God. And they were equipped and they were empowered for service. And now in this critical and crucial crisis of our lives, they were brought totally in their lives. They were brought under the rule and the reign of the Holy Ghost, and I believe they were saturated. I believe they were saturated in every realm of their heart, their life, and their ministry in His presence. And let me tell you something, church, the Holy Spirit was given a right to indwell them. I believe that this is the kind of experience that thousands of believers need in this generation. We need to encounter the old-time Pentecostal power, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which comes by means of a critical experience in our lives. Oh, you don't even sound like a Pentecostal church in here right now. You need to raise your hands. I want you to stop right here. Stand up on your feet. I want you to raise your hands and I want you to welcome the Holy Spirit in this service. Woo! I want you to go do it right now. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Come on, come on. Come on, welcome the Holy Spirit. We're going to break the bondage of hell right now. In the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, I feel you coming. I feel you coming, Holy Spirit. I feel you coming, Holy Ghost. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it, church. The Holy Spirit comes where He's welcomed. I said He comes where He's welcomed. That's it, that's it, that's it. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You're with us. You gave us the power of Pentecost, and you still work today. You still work today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Church, I don't know about you, but I need the power of Pentecost. You need the power of Pentecost. You need the empowering force from heaven that it's a promise. It's your promise. It's my promise. It's our promise. Praise God. Woo. All right, please be seated. Mind the words. Filled with the Holy Spirit are frequently found all through the book of Acts. And let it clearly be stated that even years after the original outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon those early Christians in Jerusalem, we still find the Apostle Paul encouraging the Ephesian believers to be filled, to be controlled, to be dominated by the Holy Ghost. The command of Paul to the Ephesian Christians was simply this: be not drunk with wine. Hello. Wherein is excess? But be filled with the Holy Ghost. May we understand that this fullness of the Spirit that Paul spoke about was not a luxury to enjoy. It was a necessity that we must experience. It is not just a matter of choice. It is not optional, beloved. It is not some extra blessing which only a few handpicked people can experience. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is a spiritual necessity for every born again child of God, no matter your position in life. It is our God-given birthright. It is our privilege. It is the responsibility of every believer. And too often, what has become ours by provision has not become ours by possession.
Hello.
We admire the Spirit-filled life in everybody else, but we have not appropriated that fullness of the Spirit to ourselves. And as a matter of fact, I believe that every child of God at this very moment can experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a far greater measure than that which has been enjoyed by the average Christian of today. Listen, oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better. I'm about to bust a move. That's what the youngins around here will say. I'm about to bust a move. Woo! I hope that doesn't mean something bad. Now, y'all just messed me up. Where am I at? Oh, listen. Here's the question. Do we genuinely want the Holy Spirit to take charge and control our lives? For those that have grown cold, for those that have compromised, for those that have slid backwards in their commitments to Christ, listen, the Holy Spirit has one goal in mind, and that is to draw you closer. Huh? To draw you back. For, listen, if we want Him to take charge, He comes wherever He is welcomed. Would you welcome Him in right now? Welcome Him in right now in the name of Jesus. Father, oh, You have sent the Holy Ghost, and we welcome Him in the service. Now, the saturation of God's Holy Spirit in every part of one's life is without a doubt the deepest experience that any Christian can have this side of the grave. Young people here today, do you have a relationship with the Holy Ghost? You need a personal relationship with the Holy Ghost. The early disciples thought so much of this experience that they tarried 10 days in one place until it came. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said regarding the experience of the Holy Ghost, he said, "I would not go back to where I was before that blessed experience if you should give me all the world." It was in the same spirit that George Mueller, that saintly orphanage director and man of God, he wrote about his experience when he consented for the Spirit of God to take over. He called it the reins of his life. He said, and I quote, "The change was so great, it was like a second conversion." And so it is when the mighty inflow of the divine Holy Spirit comes into our lives with all of His fullness. But remember, there is a price to pay if the Spirit-filled life is going to be ours in experience. You can be sure that God will never fill a dirty vessel. Hello? He will not fill a dirty vessel with His Spirit until that person is willing to come to the place where sin and self is evicted from off the throne of their heart. Then and only then can we be repeatedly filled with a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to wait for it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to wish for it. Sure, you're going to have to pray. I'm not saying that, but listen, He already sent, He did the work. Whenever we are consciously aware that we need such a fullness, we need to confidently and courageously say, "God, You promised it. I receive it. I embrace it." May we appropriate the gift of the Holy Spirit, because when we do, our Christian life, beloved, it'll never be the same again. Oh, somebody that believes that, shout amen. And finally, here's my last point. I want us to move on thirdly. Think of the instructing of the Holy Spirit as a guide. Christ proclaimed to His disciples, "When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." It is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to make clear to us all those things which God would have us to know. He assists us in the comprehension and the appreciation of the various truths of the Bible. The same Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible is the same one who must interpret the Bible to us. Hello. And in all our seeking and searching for truth, we must forever give ourselves unreservedly to the divine guide. I mean, this is a divine guide. Always realizing that only He can bring to light those things that we really need to know. And I ask, but who but the Holy Spirit can reveal and teach us all that we need to know about God, about man, about the universe, about sin, about salvation through Christ, about heaven, and to be sure about hell? Christ Himself declared, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now listen, if we as believers ever want to get beyond the state of walking carelessly through life, if we ever want to get to the place of walking casually through life, we must allow ourselves to be moved and motivated and mastered by the Holy Spirit. The disciples of the early church did this very thing. They never roamed or strayed from His guidance. On one occasion, I want you to notice this and I'll close. The Holy Spirit on one occasion started them, and on another occasion, He stopped them. Let's look at started. We read of Paul and Barnabas, who says, so they being sent forth by the Spirit, Acts 13:4, they were sent forth by the Spirit. He started them. And not only Paul, but also Philip, in the midst of a mighty revival, if you remember, in Samaria, was assigned and commissioned by the Holy Spirit to the desert highway in order to that he might introduce the gospel to a young man who would then introduce it to the entire continent of Africa. These penetrating words come into focus in Acts 8:29. It says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. But not only did the Holy Spirit start those early disciples, He also stopped them. During the great missionary movement of the apostolic church, Paul and Silas decided that they would take the gospel. They wanted to take the gospel into Asia. And notice what happened according to Acts 16:6. It says they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Then again in the very next verse we read, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. What the Holy Spirit did for them, He can do for us. Hello. He can start us on a life of sacred purity. And He can stop us from a life of sinful passion. Hello. That's as good as it gets right there, beloved. He wants to give us the power to make Christ central in our lives by knocking down the deceit, the conceit, the hate, the bitterness that has come to be part of our lives as Christians. But how many of us have been willing to bring our lives under His guidance, under His direction? Listen, if we are ever going to escape the heartaches, the tears, and the failures, beloved, the disappointments which come from a self-planned, self-centered life, then I know of nothing short than having our lives directed by the Spirit of God. It is highly significant. It is not that Christ lived, I mean, if Christ lived a Spirit-guided life, we read of Him, it says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Apostle Luke said of Christ, God anointed Jesus Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How many would agree Christ was the Spirit-anointed man? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was led into ministry by the Holy Spirit. He was resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, since the eternal Son of God was a Spirit-guided man, would we be anything less than that? Once the Spirit takes up His abode and abides within us, He begins a ministry of making us more like Jesus. How many would say, I want to be more like Him? See, I like to think of the Holy Spirit as the divine artist who reproduces within each one of us the express image of Christ. But for this to happen within our lives, something must happen to us. Perhaps the same experience that came one day. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Walter Wilson. He was a Methodist minister and pastor. He wrote and he told about his powerless life that he said he lived even after his conversion. He said he found himself helpless as far as victory over sin and self was concerned. And as I read, he says one day God sent a missionary to his house and they were talking. And he said this missionary, I guess, kind of leaned across the table and asked a very searching question. He said, "Dr. Wilson, what is the Holy Spirit to you?" And immediately Dr. Wilson replied, "He's one of the persons of the Trinity." But the missionary pressed the issue and asked, "But what is the Holy Spirit to you personally?" And Dr. Wilson, he said, he sadly confessed, he said, "To be honest, he's nothing to me." He said, "I have no contact with him. I have no powerful relationship with him." And he said, "I could get along without him right now." And the missionary then began to urge and explain to him the mission and ministry of the Spirit and to every believer. And thank God, Dr. Wilson wrote later, and he said, that conversation sparked a hunger in his life to where he began to seek the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he said, not long after that, quite suddenly, he said, one day my life was dynamically changed. He said, when I experienced my own personal Pentecost and was filled with the Holy Ghost. He testified later that his Christian life was revolutionized. So much so that victory over sin, he said, became his daily experience. Oh, praise God. That was for Dr. Wilson, as it was for those in the early disciples in the early church, the total abandonment of their lives to the Holy Spirit. The result was the joy of living a Spirit-controlled life. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want to be more controlled by the Holy Spirit than I am right now. Believe me when I say that it is necessary for every believer to have the same critical experience and be filled with the Holy Spirit, because such an experience will be the greatest encounter that you could ever have with God. Let's stand together. Oh, I hope somebody's in this place this morning and I have aggravated your desire enough to where you can pray, "Lord, I need a relationship with the Holy Ghost." Oh, church, begin to pray that prayer right where you're at. Right where you're at. Would you like to get to know the Holy Spirit better? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope somebody don't leave this message here. I hope you take it home with you. And I hope when you pray, you'll say, "God, what I need is what Pastor talked about. I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost." Beloved, Pentecost is one generation away from becoming extinct. And may God help us not to be the generation that drops the ball of Pentecost. But may we be the generation who refuels and takes it to our children and our children's children. I want my sons and daughter to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We pray every night, "Lord, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Fill them with your Spirit." You want to know why you give in to temptation so often, beloved? It's because you need the Holy Spirit. He can guide you. He can keep you. He can empower you. He can help you say no to the enemy. I said he can help you say no to the devil. And he can help you say yes to God. All right, where you're at, would you begin to raise your hands one more time and say, Father, I want that Holy Spirit in my heart, in my life. Go ahead, go ahead. Pray it right where you're at. Pray it. Would you please? Would you please pray it quickly? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be controlled by your Spirit. Listen, beloved, that's the greatest experience your life would ever, 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 ever have. This side of Calvary, this side of Calvary. Father, here this morning, I don't know the exact needs in homes and in hearts, but I do know you are able to meet through the power of the Holy Ghost every need. And in the name of Jesus, I pray your Spirit flows up and down these aisles, flows in between these pews, flows in the hearts and the minds and the lives of every individual. And fill us once again with the power of Pentecost. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. Amen. Would you slip out of your seat and stand across this front as we pray together and say, God, let us experience at Broadway a fresh outpouring of your Spirit this year, this year, this year, God. Right here while we're in August, Father, we need a fresh outpouring. We're just a few weeks removed from Camp Blessing, where we felt you working in lives. Young people were refilled with the Holy Ghost. God, we need a fresh drink from the fountain of Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it, brothers. That's it, sisters. Oh, yes, Jesus. Ooh, I feel the fire of Pentecost. Holy I feel the presence Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Yes, Jesus. I avail my heart to you, Jesus. I avail my life to you, Jesus. Oh, Spirit of God,
your
Spirit
glory,
of God.
God, is what our hearts long for. To
That's
be
what I long for. That's what I desire.
Come.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
I need him in my home. I need him in my church. I need him in my place of employment. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is able. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us Jesus, your desires hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desires. Hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation. Nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more of you. Yesterday's gone, and today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power, breathe on me. Let it rain on me, rain on me. Holy Ghost shower, rain on me. Yesterday's gone, and today I'm in need. Holy Ghost showers, rain on me. Let it burn. yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire burn in me. Let it breathe on me. Breathe on me. Holy Ghost power breathe on me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost power breathe on me. Let it burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost fire burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire burn.
Satisfied.